Committee on Labour is opened. I will immediately give over to the Secretary of the Committee, Mr. Sakasa, to take us through to the agenda of the day. Over to you, Mr. Sakasa.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, members and the department, with the entities. The agenda for today, Wednesday, the Secretary is the board, and the apologies, adoption of the agenda, briefing by NEDLAC, deliberations on that presentation, and then followed by the CMA on the APPs and strat plan for budget allocation, deliberation on that presentation. Again, the CMA will come back and brief on the default award regarding the employees that were dismissed in the union, and the deliberation on that briefing, and then deliberations on the amendments on the C and D versions of the unemployment insurance amendment bill which was committed, and then lastly with the consideration of draft of the C procedure. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I only have two apologies from Mr. Kawana and Mr. Matisha. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sakasa. Members, is the agenda acceptable?
Thank you, Chair. If acceptable, we have a slight amendment. There's no way that we can set our agenda as affordable. It starts with opening the agenda.
Honorable Fanskalvik.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to second the proposal that I want to move for another amendment that we start with the deliberations on the amendment before the
There's a proposal that is started the amendment. Honorable Wallace is seconding. Honorable Loli, maybe Mr. I don't know why there is no welcoming here. Maybe they are not welcome. This is
the Berlin.
Maybe you are not welcome. There is nothing like that. Yeah. No. Wait until the proceedings. So if there is any reason that you should take and go. Will take your for now. You are welcome, all of you, in the meeting, and then we hope that the meeting will be smooth. It will only be smooth. We'll have no turbulence if we are just honest, and something that we have overlooked when we are asked, we say we have overlooked this one. We will come back and just be honest with us. All we need is honesty, then I think we are human beings.
We
will understand where it is understandable. Where it's not understandable, we won't understand. So I think with that, let's start with the amendment. We have made the committee the amendment that was advanced by CCA that they were agreed upon. Can we read now the final version or talk to the final version since the meeting we had last week? Mr. Sash.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. We have in front of us, we have the C bill and we have the D bill. The C bill is just to show the amendments that the committee has agreed to. If you may remember, last week we said after consultation with the National Assembly, but I've since looked at it, we can't say after consultation with the National Assembly. We must say after consultation with Parliament, because Parliament includes both the NA and the NCOP. So that's the only thing I wanted to say. The clause will now read, it's clause 17. The RR is at its maximum when income is equal to zero, and it reaches its minimum when income is equal to the benefit transition income level. The maximum IRR is currently set at 60%. The minimum RR is currently set at 38%. However, the minister may, in consultation with NEDLAC, vary the minimum maximum income and inflate replacement rate in terms of Section 12.3b, but cannot reduce the minimum IRR to any percentage below 38. The minister may, from time to time, after consultation with Parliament, vary the IRR and the benefit period by regulation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. Anything from the members? Do we accept what has been read? We need someone to... Members, let me find out from you. We remember that we have read this bill clause by clause. The only clause that we did not agree upon, or the one that we have to make an amendment, is this one. Now, do you want me to start from the beginning, or only we adopt this one and then are we happy with that? Honorable Ollis?
We already, as you said, have gone through the whole bill. We don't need to do it again. I would just say that I would propose the acceptance of this as the final version with the amendment we just agreed to.
Honorable Jerry, you agree, Chair. So the appeal, the C bill, has been adopted by the committee. Another full mandate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The outside of the bill, we cannot change the numbering. It's between 5 or 2015. We get it from the bill's office, and they told us that they cannot change it. We can only change the short title, which we have changed. Now the short title reads, this act is called the Unemployment Insurance Amendment Act of 2016, not of 2015 anymore. Thank you.
Clear, members. Thank you, Mr. Rikasen. Then we will go to our first point in the agenda.
This is what I'm following.
I'm reminded by the committee secretary that this report, that I mean this bill that we have adopted, it will be resent now with amendment for ATC. Thank you.
When is that going to happen?
DG, it's over to you and your entities.
Good morning, Chairperson and the honorable members. Thank you very much for calling us and for coming to present to the committee the budget of the of NEDLAC, and together we will put it straight to the APT. Chair, I'm not going to do the presentation. NEDLAC is going to do the presentation, but I would like to introduce the determination of NEDLAC. The committee will remember that at some point we indicated that the then executive director, Mr. Alif Kassir, left Netflix. And that created a vacancy in which we asked Mr. Ian Masoud from the Department of Labor to act in the meantime. We now have a full-time executive director at Netflix. I'm now introducing Mr. Madhav Tavilagar, who is the executive director of Netflix. With him, Jefferson is Fanofi Iletaza, who is the chief financial officer. And Ms. Nobuntu Sidisi, senior coordinator. And Ms. Kim, I can say, a very typical study for us, who is the senior coordinator responsible for communication. And of course, we have officials from the Department of Labor who interact closely with Netflix, the Deputy Director General, Mr. Vesel Sissil, and Mr. Chairman Gosen Khaliti. We did not bring along the overall convenience of the Netflix. We did not think that it was necessary for us to do that at this stage. I think the ability of Netflix will be able to deal with all the issues of the committee would raise. Jefferson, you'll also remember, and the committee will also remember that last week when the Department of Labor was here presenting its budget, as part of the department's baseline, we reflected that we have transfers to different entities, Netflix, MA, Productive and Productive South Africa. And of that amount, which was just over $1 billion, I think 30 million of that goes to Netflix for the annual costs. So whatever they're going to present today is informed by that allocation. So I'll now hand over to
for Mr. Vilakazi, I want to acknowledge the presence of the Costa Torres. How can I use that, Mr. Mr. Metro Park? You are welcome in the meeting as well. There is Mr. Park, the parliamentary liaison officer for Costa Torres. You don't know him. Lift your hand. They are looking for you, Mr. Star. Thank you.
We also have a parliamentary officer who is also too nice, Jefferson. Mr. Eric Nyakemba. I forgot to introduce him.
Now we do have the parliamentary liaison officer who is too nice, 10 times. But what is that suit name? My Pape. And then we have Mr. Nyekemba and Nochikila. Ladies, you know, the ladies are more nicer than you, Mr. Nyekemba.
Hand over to
thank you, DG, and thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'm now going to present to you the overview of the strategic plan of Netflix, as well as the overview of the performance plan and the budget. The overview of the next 5 years, Netflix will strive to achieve its vision, which is to promote growth, equity, and participation through social dialogue, which is conducted obviously through the four social partners. The first strategic outcome-oriented goal is to promote economic growth social equity and decent work, which would contribute to the achievement of the objectives and targets of the National Development Plan and the New Growth Pact through effective social dialogue in the framework. And secondly, to promote an embedded a culture of effective social dialogue and engagement, which would support constituencies to build the necessary capacity to engage, including through research, assistance, and communication, which NETLEG is afforded to constituencies. And thirdly, to promote effective participation in social, economic, policy making, and legislation to ensure compliance with NETLEG framework, including the NETLEG constitution and the NETLEG protocol. And fourthly, to enhance governance and organizational effectiveness and efficiency in order to continue to build an efficient secretariat as well as a strong government structure. In order to achieve these strategic outcome-oriented goals, the strategic plan is structured around three core programs. The first program is administration, which is there to enhance organizational efficiency and effectiveness. And the second one is the core operations of NETLEG, which is there to consider and engage on policy and legislation in NETLEG chambers, task teams, and committees, and to create wider awareness of NETLEG's work. And the third one is the capacity building fund, which is created for the constituencies, the three constituencies, to capacitate constituencies to engage effectively in NETLEG structures. That could be labor, business, and the community. The following outcomes will be focused on in respect of each program. Program one, which is administration, the target outcome there is to enhance governance and oversight by governance structures. And also to the provision of efficient back office and administrative support services, which would entail obviously filing, electronic filing, and all of that in our back office. Strong and compliant financial and risk management, which is underpinned by well-functioning structures like your financial committee as well as the audit and risk committee. Efficient and high-performing secretariat, which needs all the staff that are working for NETLEG to be effectively capacitated to execute the mandate of NETLEG. The second program, which is core operation, the target outcome there is the efficient engagement on policy and legislation that is tabled in each of the NETLEG chambers. And secondly, effective addressing of notices received in terms of Section 77 of the Labor Relations Act, which obviously includes adhering to the timelines that are agreed in the protocol. Wider and more intensive communication of NETLEG work and achievements. And the third program, which is Capacity Building Fund, the target outcomes there are to strengthen constituency engagement in NETLEG through resourcing to undertake research, workshops, and other preparatory work. In our strategic plan, we have designated specific research, for example, that there should be one research from each of the constituencies that should be conducted. And secondly, to ensure that constituency capacity building funds are spent in compliance with NETLEG's finance policy. I'll now move to the overview of the annual performance plan. The annual performance plan for 2016-2017 is on work already undertaken. On financial controls, we will supply chain management unit manages all procurement that is undertaken by NETLEG. That is obviously underpinned by the supply chain management policies of NEDLAC, which is adopted on a regular, on an annual basis by the NEDLAC structure. Comprehensive set of finance policies developed and implemented. Independent chairperson for the audit and risk committee in the report to the executive council. That is an attempt to ensure that there is transparency and independence in terms of the finances of NEDLAC. Finance committee and the audit committee and risk committee meet on a quarterly basis, and the audit committee charter has been concluded. Quarterly finance reports are provided to EXCO and to the management committee. And the management committee receives quarterly reports on procurement. Entity governance, we have a risk register managed and maintained, which is done on a quarterly basis. This risk register is updated on a quarterly basis. Document management system maintained to ensure that we have backup on all our important documents and networks. The IT charter and policies are adopted. Monitored and improved compliance with the NEDLAC protocol. On secretariat capacity, the vacant posts are being filled, including that of the executive director, which was filled at the beginning of this month. Coordinators and NEDLAC predominantly hold postgraduate qualifications to ensure that they give informed advice and support to the NEDLAC chamber. Training is also provided to staff members through a bursary scheme and also through general staff development in line with their responsibilities within NEDLAC. And the overview of the third program, administration, entity management, the sub program is entity management there. Summits to be held as per the NEDLAC Act. That is once a year, the summits must be held. EXCO meetings held as per the NEDLAC Constitution, and that is happening regularly four times a year. Stakeholder satisfaction surveys on the quality of meeting preparations and logistical arrangements. That is done once in every 6 months. And on corporate services, efficient voice and data services provided, and data backup is done on a monthly basis. And on finance administration, we strive for the output to have an unqualified audit opinion obtained from the Auditor General. We are quite aware that the last financial year we got a qualified audit opinion, but we are striving to ensure that we get an unqualified audit opinion for this financial year 2017. Finance report submitted quarterly to governance structures for consideration, and quarterly review of the risk register. The next sub-program is office accommodation. The output there is the maintenance of NEDLAC house through regular maintenance inspections, which are conducted on a quarterly basis. And the general office administration, which is staff satisfaction survey, which is done twice a year. And also document management system is maintained. And on human resource management, quarterly performance appraisals are conducted for all staff members of NEDLAC. Performance improvement plans developed and implemented as a result of those quarterly performance appraisals. On the co-program, the co-operation chambers, the sub-program on chambers and MENCO task teams, the outputs and activities there is that we have one research report developed per chamber. The chambers would identify any topic that they want to, which is relevant to their responsibilities, they want to conduct research on, there's funds available to do that. And one strategic session convenes per chamber. a year. The NetLab report concluded on draft legislation within 6 months of taking the two chamber satisfaction surveys on the quality of meeting preparations and logistical arrangements are conducted. And on the Section 77 committee, resolution of Section 77 notices in compliance with the Section 77 protocol that we are striving to achieve, and we have been achieving that over the past year, and we are going to achieve that hopefully in this financial year. Communication and outreach, press briefings, opinion pieces, and news articles issued quarterly, and monthly website updates, and monthly monitoring of website visits. And we are currently in the process of concluding the NetLab 20-year anniversary commemorated through a 20-year publication. So that work is ongoing. Capacity the building fund. The sub-program will be business, community, and labor constituencies. The output there is expenditure will be monitored through quarterly financial reports to the finance committee. In labor relations, a process has been established under the leadership of the deputy president to address wage inequality, and the second one, the broad labor relations issues. Technical task teams have been established and they are currently deliberating on those two broad issues. The process reports into a specially convened committee of principals that is chaired by the deputy president. I'll now move to the budget allocation for the NetLab program. As you can see, we have a 4-year MTEF budget cycle, and we are now currently on 2016-2017. We rely mainly, obviously, as the DC explained, on grants from the Department of Labor, which is currently sitting at 30 million. And we also have small amount of interest that we generate, and other income would obviously be the money that we receive from the system, the services system, to the training list, from the training list. And the plan is to increase the approved, the budget has increased by about 5.2%, 5.9%, and 5% over the next 4 years. And in 2018, 2019, the whole budget would be 34,334,000. And the expenditure estimate, we have the expenditure estimates on capital expenditure, computer equipment, furniture and office equipment, software, building improvements, and the subtotal there is about 200. That has not been increased for the coming financial year because a lot of money has been spent by NetLab in the last financial year in terms of in the 2014-2015 financial year in terms of renovating and refurbishing the office of NetLab. About 12 million rand was allocated for that. On administration, we have a total for the previous financial year 2015-2016 of 20 million rand, and that has increased marginally to 20.8 million rand for this current financial year. That again will increase to 21.9 million rand in the next financial year 2017-2018. And for 2018-2019, the amount will grow to 23.2 million rand. The corporate services budget for 2016-2017 has been reduced in order to reduce expenditure on consulting other administration expenses that increase in relation to the inflation. On the corporation, the expenditure estimates on cooperation there mainly the expenses there is for travel and accommodation for the members of the four chambers and the main contact teams that are set up, as well as the Section 77 committee. So the budget for the current year, financial year, is 5.9 million, which will grow marginally as well to 6.1 in 2017-2018 budget cycle, and 6.55 in the 2018-2019 budget cycle. And all of these amounts have also been increased, taken into account the projected inflation rate. And on capacity building funds, again, then these are the funds that are allocated to the different constituencies, the three constituencies except government, to do capacity building for their participants within NEDEC structures. And the budget for this year is 1.3 million for all three constituencies, and that will grow marginally as well to 1.37 next year, and the year after that will be 1.45 million. So in total, constituency funds will be 3.9 million in 2016-17, 4.11 million in 2017-2018, and 4.35 in 2018-2019. And the summary again of expenditure, capital expenditure for the period under review will be 200,000 for the coming financial year, will be 200,000 as well up until 2018. Program 1 currently is for this financial year, 21.5 million, the next financial year, 22.6 million, and 23.2 million in the 2018-2019 financial year. And program 2 will also be growing marginally, and the total expenditure for the year we are projecting to be 30.869 for this financial year, 32.4 for the next financial year, and 84.3 for the year 2018-2019. And that corresponds to the revenue that we are anticipating that NEDEC will increase. And the next slide is just a breakdown on how the funds in the different programs split. So for administration, we have all of those items: salaries, social contribution, staff training, staff grants, accounting fees, advertising, audit fees, bank charges, and building maintenance. Those are the items that we cater for there, as well as in the next slide, the capital expenses, cell phone allowances, cleaning, consulting fees, courier depreciation, electricity, water, internet, because NEDEC owns the building, so we pay for the general maintenance, insurance, and legal fees. The next item, the total obviously for this program is 23.055 for the administration. And the core program, we have international meetings, we have chambers and testing meetings, the refreshment, Section 77 meetings, labor relations engagement processes, developing and production of the annual report, printing, publication, and public relations. The total for core program is 7.8 million. And the capacity building fund, there we have equal allocation for all the constituencies, for all three constituencies, and the total is 3.9 million. Thank you very much.
presentation and I also wish to take this opportunity to welcome you and hope that you will work very well with you as a community. That's the presentation. Another full member. In line with what Mr. Kavar has said, that we have embarked on a very tightening process or program in all what we do. I have noticed on that side of page 17 that the refreshment is still very high, 784,000. Why is it that? Is it that much what we need to catch an offender? Honorable Lollywood.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I wonder if you go to page 16. I don't know the number of chairs, but the slide on top is the presentation. Can I be advised as to what is the policy on your budget, please? Because I'm seeing that you are spending 42% on salary foundation out of your budget. If I calculated correctly the amount that you have stipulated then. Secondly, you have 243,900 for cell phone allowance. And also, I'm looking at your telephone bill on the other page. It's also a bit high. So can we get an explanation then? The last one is to say, what is it that you are doing incorrectly that leads you to budget that high amount for legal fees? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My concern is also with regards to the high amount allocated to consultants. So my question would be, are you not trying to strengthen internal capacity, looking at your staff training and development in order to minimize consultants? But also when you look at travel and accommodation, there's also a high amount allocated for this, knowing very well that you should try and minimize costs. Thank you.
Another question?
Thank you, Chair. I didn't put up my hand yet, but I do have a question. On your page 11, I don't know what the number of the slide is. That it's headed labor relations, and you talk about the issues that the deputy president has asked you to address, namely wage inequality, which is, I assume, the minimum wage issue, and then broader labor relations issues. I'd just like you to indicate what broader labor relations issues you're talking about, and then if you could tell us what you've done about the question of strike violence. We raised it before, I've done about it in the store before, and we were told that you are going to be our savior. You're going to fix it for us because the president asked you if you're going to come with formal proposals on how to deal with strike violence. And I'd just like to know what your update is in terms of what progress is there on dealing with questions like strike violence, and are you going to be bringing something to Parliament at some stage or giving it to the minister? Anu is the executive director of NEDLAC. Perhaps we could just be a little bit about your background and know somebody a little bit when they come to a position. You know, what were your positions before and what's there?
Yeah.
And then, wasn't it Mr. Talay, that was the active? Naidu, Mr. Naidu. Maybe if the DG could indicate what happened to Mr. Naidu, he deployed elsewhere. then in terms of the I hear what one of my classes is about tapping the stage in terms of the kind of economy. But we have saw the outstanding matter of the electorate report and DG. The last question we asked last year was what happened about internal disciplinary procedures on that matter. Good comment. And then if I could hear from Nelek, like whether the police investigation into that forensic report has concluded. You as Nelek tabled it with the police. Have they finished their investigation? Have they replied to you? Is the investigation ongoing? Did they make any findings? Are they taking anyone to court or all of that? And then arising out of that, there were questions about access to flights, cards, travel bookings, credit cards, and so on. Are you now convinced that your internal controls will prevent any of that happening again? Or do you think that there's still more to be done? Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the report. I want to touch on something which might be a little bit itchy, but you could answer us on this. There has been a lot said by the public sector, public in general, that in fact NADLAC's just a toy telephone. That it's a talk shop, and once you finish talking, some form of agreement is then sent on to Parliament, and Parliament then does exactly what it wants to do anyway. That it all becomes almost irrelevant, and in fact we saw that with the last changes to the Labour Relations Act. There were tentative agreements that came out of NADLAC, and then they just thrown aside and discussed in Parliament, and deals were made outside of NADLAC. And in fact, what do we need it for? Maybe you can just ask us and answer us on that and think if you've got any say whatsoever, other than being a talk shop and spending the 50 million. The other thing is, and I know my colleagues have touched on it, or in fact, on the other side, but the national minimum wage obviously is probably the biggest issue, and somehow this is not handled all that well over here. Have you put together a separate budget for it? What's actually going to happen? Because that's probably going to spend most of your time, from what I understand, from the Deputy President, going to spend most of your time, and probably the greatest part of your budget, and yet we don't see much about it out here at all. The third thing is, my understanding was that if it in fact is more than a talk shop, there's been a large move from civil society about the secret ballots before strikes, and maybe that's something that NADLAC should be tackling, because that could be something that would help the country's fiscus altogether if there was a secret ballot before striking, and maybe NADLAC needs to tackle that prickly pear which everyone else has tried to tackle. Next thing is in the offing there's a new trade union movement about to be formed in a month or two, and I presume you have plans to bring them on board. It might be the biggest trade union movement in the country. It might represent the majority of the employees.
How do you know that?
And maybe you can tell us about that. And then finally, and Honourable Hollis did touch on this as well, but can you let us know what disciplinary action has been taken against the employees who were possibly ill-advised? Who are those employees? What was the reaction? Are they still your employees? And what has happened to recover the stolen money or the ill-spent, ill-gotten gains? Thank you, Madam Chair.
No, Chair, I think you missed my hand when Honourable Onis was still on the floor. Because I wanted to say, I don't think it's a fair question to say, can you tell us about yourself, who are you, where are you from? To me, it's as if saying to the DG, who is this person? There has been appointments in the entities. This is not the first one. But that question
never arose. What is it trying to relay across when it is sent to the DG? Tell us more about this particular person. A person has gone to an interview, and the parties that were constituting the panel satisfied themselves that the person is qualified. That's the comment I wanted to make. And also, Chair, if Ben Nedlack is asked to talk on a trade union that is not even in place, is it a way of saying Nedlack should express a view on something that is not born as yet?
In support of what comment what I'm saying is that I don't think it should require for us to presume that this will be the biggest federation ever on Earth. It has not been born yet. And now it gives us some doubt and problems. From where I'm thinking, how do we know that it's going to be the biggest? So we must not
there's no witch hunt. I just thought that the DG could tell us a little bit about people when they come. And I hope for all heads of department or heads of entities, this is Mr. So and so, he comes to us from FAA, and just so that we have some indication. If you're just the other person's name, it doesn't tell you anything about the person. It's not, there's no witch hunt. I don't want to interrogate anybody. So I'm just saying, this is Lungkai and Jenny, who came to us from the NCRC. I don't want any private information or anything. It's just an introduction.
All due respect to my most learned colleagues, I'll ask whatever questions I want to ask. They can try their utmost to try and somehow handcuff me, but I'll carry on asking. It makes me very suspicious when they don't want us to ask questions, and then they object to a question. That makes us very suspicious altogether. But yes, I did make the allegation that there is going to be a new trade union movement, and I said possibly going to be the biggest. I'm not misleading anyone. And I'd like them to comment. If they don't want to comment, they can say there's no comment. That's up to them. But for my honourable colleagues to presuppose what the answer might be, I think this is going to affect you. Thank you very much.
Okay. You want to ask your questions.
Yeah, you are not in
Members,
I think
the only members
of the Okay. Sorry, I've raised my hand.
Oh, well. First, my.
No, I didn't even know that you are in the house today. Yes.
Can you speak, please? What do you want to speak on this?
No.
No, then I'm not done with the question. With the question, then.
On the
presentation.
I'm coming.
Okay.
To
you. Remember that I think we have expressed our views. Let's give to the department to answer. In whatever way that that is from DG, you will answer where you say that you feel free to answer, where you don't feel free to answer, it will also be your I really don't want to answer. I think I'm not really running interviews here at school because really that question talks about yourself. We have not done it and it will not be fair. For you to say Mr. De La Gaze is from the ranch, is from the department, and that's it. Or Mr. De La Gaze is someone from outside, and that we don't really need a Because if you ask in a senior position, I think that question would have arisen, which is why, because once you say, tell us about yourself, who are you, it's like, we want to know your credentials, are you the right, how, you know, we want to know so that we can satisfy ourselves that you are the right candidate in that position. That question has so many qualifications. So that's why I'm saying I agree with the members that they've never done it before. I'm sure you find it this has been published, by the way. You can have someone so I think let's just give you the tell us if you're someone from the channel. No, let's just do what you want to do.
Thank you, sir. Second question is that the two slides from there, or
administration side, where we have the salaries and wages and particular ones. And in two consecutive slides, we have expenditure for building maintenance and general maintenance. Why the separation? Is it specifically allocated in that way that the general maintenance would be replacement of light bulbs, etc., whereas building maintenance will be more expensive maintenance to the building itself? And then finally, we have an expenditure for capital items amounting to 417,000 rand on the slide on page 16, if you know what number it is. 16. But in terms of the general sort of allocation on the slide, bottom of the slide of page 15, indicates that capital expenditure is kept at 200,000 rand. Why the difference and I'm sure there's explanation for that. That's your thinking, that's
true.
Thank you. I'm far from the mic. Thanks, sir. Sir, mine is just a few points. I'm looking at the page 2 which deals with the strategic outcome. And my interest is basically if they can just indicate the impact analysis of network job creation and also job retention strategies. But I understand that amongst the is to ensure economic growth. And economic growth obviously relates to how do we retain jobs and also create jobs, you see. Also, I understand, for example, just to get an indication, because currently I also agree that the one of the criticism of Netflix is that it's a talk show. But I want to get an understanding, given the current policy framework in the country, you find that labor and business, they tend to be on the opposite side. And how does it affect the Netflix as a platform that is expected to contribute to the objectives of the NTP? And then also, I'm also interested with regard to page 11 with regard to the current labor process that is currently led by the TP. If you can just get an indication, because currently Parliament and also other sectors of society are busy discussing possibilities of the national minimum wage as a strategy to close wage inequality. And if we can just get an indication, because whenever we had that discussion in Parliament, we were told that the process is at NETLEC level. I'm not sure if the leadership of NETLEC can just reveal the extent in which that process is now, because the South African people are waiting with anticipation. Lastly, if you look at page 10, it also, the department has indicated that they are spending funds with regard to communication and outreach. And I can tell you now my understanding of NETLEC. It has always been this academic debate that it's an academic sort of cooperative institution, which does not find expression to ordinary men and women on the ground. And I just want to check the efforts of NETLEC to ensure that the institution does not just sit there where only certain people understand, what are the efforts to ensure that NETLEC when it makes the outreach, it is able to reach the ordinary people on the ground. Thanks, Chair. But I think on the issue of the dancers, not necessarily with NetLink, I think perhaps as a committee, we must agree that whoever comes and makes presentation at this level, we must have a situation of credentials. It's a reality that in South Africa, in many institutions, we're led with people with ghost credentials. So it should not be a taboo when one becomes curious as to whether the person that is leading us, we can say that was safe, as not necessarily to NetLink, but entirely to all institutions that come and make presentations in committee. Thank you.
I think this statement is insulting. Because as you say, we are a government that appoints integrity people. And that is not the truth of anything. So I would request that the latter speak out for it. Not a familiar one?
Chair, for presentations, there are no such qualifications. So what do we want to achieve if we say for anyone who's coming to present here, you must know the credentials? I don't think that one is on. I agree with Honorable Mandashe. It's dealing with the character of presenters, which we are not going to agree.
Honorable members, I think we should... we should go for the answering of the questions. Indeed, I don't think I don't want to take the issue into this that book, because what we have said is that we're not going to create a precedent today and start speaking to people to themselves. And where it was found that someone that has misrepresented her or his own credentials for a specific position, I think the government is wrong. So I don't think that we are this committee, whenever people are coming here, that's not our function of scrutinizing credentials. All we want is what they are doing in the department. If in the department you find that there is somebody who has misrepresented the credentials, not our responsibility. If that is found, it's particularly helpful. It's not us. So, Honorable, sorry, did you the question?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask the Executive Director and the CFO to respond on a number of issues. But I think, Chairperson, when it comes to the issue relating to the process of the national minimum wage and also the broader issues relating to labor relations in general, I think we have the person who's facilitating that. I think at you can just give us a high level progress with regards to that. We have the Mr. Ronald Benico, who is the facilitator of the process. I think he can just give us an overall picture of what is happening. If the shepherd can have.
Update. I think the executive director has reported that there are essentially two top teams that have been convened under the auspices of the deputy president of the country. The one top team deals specifically broadly with the labor relations environment, and it's called the labor relations technical top team. And in that top team, we're dealing with a broad code of good practice related to collective bargaining and industrial action. The intention with the code being to set in place a set of norms and a guideline that parties should adopt both before during and after the collective bargaining process. And those negotiations are at quite an advanced stage. We have draft documents in place. We also in the process of finalizing a draft memo on or contextual legal framework on compulsory advisory arbitration. And that is meant to kick in to give the minister some power to require an advisory arbitration in certain circumstances. When a strike, for example, goes on for too long and the conditions are clearly set up, when the minister can make that intervention. And once, well, the draft at the moment says it's still subject to negotiation, then once such an award is made, a five-year award is made, and a party rejects it, there will be a balloting requirement that has to be put to the members. If the employers are rejected, will have to be put to the employer party's members. And if the unions are rejected, their members will have to vote out in a single ballot. Now, I raise this because at the moment it's still part of an ongoing negotiation process. Then there are a range of proposed legislative changes to the actual act. The one big one we're dealing with relates to the Chapter 5 related to workplace forums. And the proposal there is to loosen up the current arrangements and to give business and workers and unions much more flexibility to set in place forums for dialogue within the workplace and to promote dialogue and improvement in workplace relations through a whole range of informal structures without being rigid that it has to be a workplace forum. And then there are other texts which, and again I'm raising this, but I need to indicate it's all still subject to on the table. The text, the draft, the text is drafted by a service provider in their lab. Coming out of the negotiation, there's a range of other legal texts, and I'll just touch on some of them. This is in the labor relations task force. For example, there's a draft text that gives a commissioner a bit more flexibility of whether he issues a certificate in a mutual interest dispute or not. Because often parties come and when the 30 days is up, they just want a certificate so that the strike or a lockout can start. And it's a proposal that a bit more flexibility be given and discretion be given to a commissioner in that area. Then there's a proposal on the table in draft text that shifts the onus to the worker to prove that his dismissal would be unfair. The worker has been found guilty of a criminal in a criminal court of criminal conduct during his life. For example, the text would say, if you're found guilty in the court of criminal conduct, that you then the ownership of the workers to prove that your dismissal is unfair. There would still be a requirement of the employer to follow due process. Now, I'm raising all this to give the committee a sense of what is being discussed, but I must strongly add there's no agreement on this, they're all subject to ongoing negotiations between the parties. And I don't want to be said that as a facilitator I've come here and reported that by any of the constituencies that I've misrepresented the position on these matters, because there's no agreement currently. And then there's a provision that government has put on the table around balloting, that all union constitutions must make provision for balloting, both in the election of processes in the union and so on. And that is on the table. And then there's a whole range of other areas in the proposals that they have requirements for balloting. So that's the one task team. Then the task team on wage inequality broadly covers the negotiations on the national minimum wage, but also looks at wage inequality, executive salaries, etc. At this point in time, and the parties are still talking to each other off the record and informally about a number. There is no number at the moment. I think it's That is still ongoing, those discussions. And anything that comes out of that committee will go to a COPDD, a committee of principal meeting, which is chaired by the executive principal. And I understand from the NEDLAC secretariat the next meeting is scheduled for the 7th of, tentatively scheduled for the 7th of May, where a full report on the outcome of both staffing will today be put to the committee of principals. That is made up of six persons at the very senior level of the four companies that are concerned with government. So that, very briefly, is some of the background work we're doing with the negotiations with the two doctors. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I will answer a few of the questions and then my colleagues will answer those that I will leave behind. I will start with the issue of refreshments, that the refreshment budget is too high. We have a policy at NEDLAC that we do not provide any food if the meeting will last less than 4 hours. Most of the meeting, or the, for example, the task team that Mr. Benko is leading, they sit for the entire day. So that's what is happening. So if the meeting takes place for longer than 4 hours, food is provided for the members, because most of them do not necessarily come from around Johannesburg. So that's the issue. And on the salary bill, the 43% on salary, I can only say that perhaps that is a function of the nature of work that NEDLAC does, because it's highly technical. You have highly skilled people that are working at NEDLAC. And also the fact that the budget is quite low for NEDLAC. So if you understand that it's 43% of 30 million rand. And there are internal, which things that we are still dealing with, internal complaints or dissatisfaction with the rates, because NEDLAC doesn't compare favorably with government. Those are the internal issues that are being discussed, especially within the human resource and remuneration committee of NEDLAC. So I personally, and in terms of the policy, don't believe it's high. And there was a question also around travel and accommodation that is high. That is specifically for traveling and accommodation for the constituents when they come to do their work at NEDLAC, and probably us as well, coming here and going back to Johannesburg. So most of the work is conducted in committees, task teams of NEDLAC. So there will obviously be traveling that should be involved. But unnecessary traveling is being curtailed, and the policies do not allow that. And the legal fees, there was a question that the legal fees are high at 315,000. This is provision for any eventuality. I know, for example, that there was a case a few years back where a certain federation wanted to affiliate or wanted a seat in NEDLAC. That matter went to court, and eventually we incurred about 350,000 rand just on that one case of legal fees. So there are many other legal interventions that we need, and that is a provision. We hope we won't be spending all of that. And there was a question also around credit cards. As a result of the forensic reports, NEDLAC has reviewed its policies, especially the finance policies. And the credit cards to executives have been discontinued, so there is control in that respect. And also there was a question about the police case, what is happening there. The matter is still under investigation. The police have not taken a decision whether to charge anybody. They are still in the process of investigation. But there was another part of it which I think the DG will answer in relation to that forensic report. I think I will give to my colleagues to answer the other question.
I will start with the question that is on the cell phone allowance. The reason why we have the cell phone allowance and also the reason why it's considered as high, we, Netflix, due to the huge nature of business, the administrators, for example, as well as the coordinators, they quite a lot of phone calls that are done outside office hours that relates to travel, because we've got the traveling that takes place almost every day, every week. So there was a rotation that was done for cell phone, which is on a yearly basis to allocate the cell phone allowance for that reason. I will move to the question that is on consulting. Netflix does consulting mostly on research projects. That's where most of the of that expenditure is spent. Just on research projects. For example, if you look on the consumer blood business, which we probably about 90% of the budget that's allocated to business constituency actually goes to research and other research that are done by the chambers at Netflix. Netflix does not have an inflection on person that is deployed on full-time basis in terms of research. So the amount that we have is consulting mainly for research projects. I'll move to the question that is on the the audit fees comprises of fees that are paid to the auditor general when they do the both the interim audit as well as the year end audit. Also included there is the fees that we pay to the internal auditors for the quarterly review that they do. They come to Netflix on a quarterly basis to do the internal control review, as well as the other departments and IT governance. So the amount that we have is shown as audit fees is the amount that will be paid both the internal audit as well as the external audit that's being paid. On the buildings, on the separation between the building maintenance and general maintenance in terms of the expenditure, the building maintenance comprises of items like repairs, for example, like things that are going to repair the things like lights and any other electrical related activities. And on the general maintenance, this is where we budget for things like security, cleaning, for example, in the audit. I think the last one, Chair, we will attempt to come back to clarify the issue on the capital expenditure. And one last question on the capital expenditure, we will come back to clarify that.
Thank you.
So we have prioritized over the past couple of years. We feel that we've done a step towards making that confidence that our nation's are safe to avoid any future problems. If I could just speak quickly to the issue about neglect versus nursing. And I hear what the Honourable Member is saying about neglect being referred to as a choice and so on. I think this is a comment that was made in 2011 and somehow sort of clung to us since then. Despite the fact that our own research is showing that neglect, both our coverage and the sentiment towards the institution, has grown extensively over the last couple of years. So we feel we have made some progress into mainstream media. Where we have a problem is getting the social partners to defend the institution. So we very seldom see any of the social partners stand up and say, neglect is important, we want to defend it, the work we're doing here is crucial. So we often find ourselves as the institution defending ourselves, and it's been an ongoing weakness since neglect was set up, trying to get our social partners on board. And then if I can just follow up on what the Honourable Member was saying about where our reach is, I think it's a fair point to say that neglect targets is really with the mainstream media. We do as much as we can try and target, for example, community radio stations. But the challenge for us is partly when we can put out information and what information we can put out. So, for example, at the moment, everybody's asking us what's happening with the national minimum wage. And the discussions within the task team are saying we need to keep quiet at the moment as the media group, because we don't want to hamper the discussion. So we need to make those discussions come to an end, and then we can be saying things. So I often quite clearly keep quiet, but, you know, when we talk to journalists, they're saying, what's the minimum wage, and when is it going to be implemented? So it's quite a complicated institution in terms of running a media strategy, because you do have some social partners who have different interests. And then if I can just speak to that as the last point, Honourable Member, is I think we've always seen that NEDLAC's work is exactly that, because we have these social partners who come with different interests. Our belief is that we create a kind of, if I can say, a sponge to soak up some of the tensions in society. Now, I'm not aware, Honourable Bakram, of all the bilaterals that took part in the Labour Relations Amendment. Our understanding is that most of what goes through NEDLAC when we submit a report, the majority of the report is areas of agreement. So we feel that there's a strong social buy-in between the social partners, because we're able to offer that environment of going through line by line on pieces of legislation that come through. So we think there is value in that. There are sometimes areas of disagreement, but we think the value is that we provide these often laborious processes, but within strict time frames. And we think that adds value to both parliamentary process and generally the legislative and policy process.
Yeah, just to add to what the team is saying, except in the previous NEDLAC summit, all the social partners affirmed the importance of NEDLAC as a structure that is responsible for social and this institution is also over there, even outside South Africa, because of the ability to afford everybody an opportunity to participate in discussions that could affect the policies, economic policies of the country. So I think the institution is very, very important. And Kim made a very important point here that most of the time it is us, the people who are supposed to be defending the institution, that are not defending the institution. I'll just give an example. I mean, Honourable Bakram spoke about the fact that legislation that discussed at NEDLAC and the social partners would agree on what was the content of that legislation, and then the document is brought to Parliament for Parliament to make a decision on it, and there would be changes that Parliament deems it necessary to effect. This is a process that NEDLAC cannot control. A classical example is the UIF amendment here. inserted implant. We have great practices how the penis will look like. And the and just when we started here, the honorable members have effected amendment to the bill. And it does not in any way reflect negatively on the work that, that has been done by NEDLAC. I think Parliament has to accept it. That's also that the legislation that is passed by Parliament reflects the views of Parliament. There's an issue relating to the new federation. I think that it will be, at this stage, it will be premature of us to express a view on the new Labour Federation, because it has not been established yet, and when it has been established, I think NEDLAC has a process in place to deal with such issues that is contained in the legislation. So once that federation is established, we will then find a way of interacting with itself as we interact with other I think Honorable Khaula raised a question relating to the role of NEDLAC in job creation and job retention. I think the very nature of the discussions that are taking place at NEDLAC are solely to make sure that whatever decisions that are arrived at, they take into account job creation, economic growth, job creation and investment. So those are the issues that that form the core of the discussion that is taking place at NEDLAC, because we all understand that the labor relations or the labor market policies that we have been with, there's a correlation between them and economic development and economic growth. So it's in that context that NEDLAC plays a role in job retention and job creation. I think those are all of the questions that they raised. Well, there's also a view that I think labor and business are always on the opposite side. I think that's the nature of engagement. It is for the social partners to convince one another that the points that is being put across is very, very important. And that's why negotiations and discussions with business often take as long as they do, because that's the nature of the engagement. Thank you. Oh, there's a question for the chair that I didn't respond to. What happened to the employees who were implicated in the forest of the courts? None of them work for NEDLAC. And I think there are two officials that were implicated there. And the CFO who is no longer working for the institution, and the former executive director, they're both not working for the institution. And I think the executive director indicated that the process of the criminal investigation is still continuing. We haven't accepted that yet. That's true. What are the findings?
That has closed.
Thank you, Professor. I just want clarity on the Department of the Response to the on the matter on page 15. Can you be clarified what it means when they say there's a maintenance of other facilities? And the IS can say general maintenance of the clinic orders. What is the difference between two items? What is the relationship? I would start to follow with the report. what is the relationship between the two? Because they said that they used to say this or they have lived with their family. And now, what is the correlation between the two? If they have a reason and take the building, what is it? Which building is going to be in the city? Which building is going to be in the city? And what do you mean if they have a reason and take the building?
Okay. Thanks, Sherry, and thanks for those that feedback. It's appreciated. Did you know, I know sidestepping issues is part of your job sometimes, politics wise. But Mr. McKeever, it's still paid by you. It's on your budget. And no internal disciplinary intention after these findings. I asked this question last year, 6 months, you've been given to think about it. Now maybe tell us your thoughts. Are you not going to have a disciplinary against the current member paid by you?
Madam Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thank Mr. Bernico for the answer he gave us, which is most enlightening, and I thank him for that. That there is lunch provided for his meeting. He's looking a bit better. But I must tell you, and I'm very pleased from what I'm hearing from Mr. Benico about the content of some of the discussions that are taking place, and it moves me further away from the toy telephone. So I'm thankful for that. But what I would like to do is to at least let us know or get some sort of minutes of meetings that are taking place as to what is being discussed. At least we know what work is being done by the organization, because this is an overview which doesn't tell us much at all what actual work you're doing. And now we're hearing some real nuts and bolts work that is actually being done in the organization, which I think is not only enlightening for us, but would be enlightening for the public, for some of your image out there, which you were worried about the image as to the fact that you're a toy telephone, and the public are still talking like that. But if the public knew that in fact you were talking about issues such as onus and flexibility, dialogue in the workplace, the chapter 5, etc., etc., what we're doing, not to say that there's an agreement. Mr. Bernico went to pains to tell us there's no agreements. But at least he can tell, at least we can see some minutes of those meetings. They're open minutes, they should be open. We're entitled to them, the public should be entitled to them, and I'd like to see more of that, because that would then drive us as a committee beyond what we're thinking at the moment, what I'm thinking at the moment, where I'm thinking 50 million rand spent on what, and all I hear is about some vague discussions. But when we get down to the nuts and bolts, what Mr. Bernico touched on, then in fact your budget should be doubled. So please, let us have a look at that. Thank you.
What are we going to do as a committee with this unit? What do those units, what value are those units going to add on our oversight? Because we should be emphasizing or vocal on things that NetLife is not doing, that is supposed to be doing. But as the committee, I don't see us sitting there going to win. So I'm very curious, what is that you want to gain out of the minutes of an organization? After that, we're doing oversight and going through minutes. We are not even talking about the report, we are talking about the minutes. So I don't understand that. I've noted you on the radio. He wants to explain better.
Okay, you've asked me a question I'd love to answer. I'd like to know actually what this organization is doing. So maybe we won't have the verbatim minutes, but we can at least know what they're doing, because we have now a taste of some of the things that they say they're doing. Let's actually see it. Let's see it reported, because you are asking us, Madam Chair, and they're asking us to approve an expenditure of 50 million rand. What we see over here is just a high-conditioned ideas that we're getting people together to discuss. And you can get people to discuss anywhere, but if you're actually going somewhere and you're actually discussing real issues that are going to affect the economy of South Africa, then we need to know about it. Now we've had a case from Mr. Bernica as to actually they are discussing issues that are going to affect the future economy of South Africa. And somehow we have nothing about it over here. And I think it would be very important for, you don't have to read it, and say, I'd love to read it. I'd like to see and to give my voice of approval as to why 50 million rand is very well spent. If there are issues such as what Mr. Bernica is talking about, it would be superbly spent. Probably more so than many other organizations. And that's why I'm asking for it. I'm not saying you have to read it.
We know that some parties are not directly represented in NEDLAC, and that is what the policy in setting up NEDLAC is saying. There is no way that the structure that was not responsible for generating minutes, we can demand minutes as if we have a case here that is going to give us evidence when we reach minutes. What I would advise is that members, if there's any clarity they need on NEDLAC, let them come with specific questions so that responses can be given to those questions. There's no way that minutes of another structure can be interrogated by another structure. Let us ask the questions we are not clear about, but there's no way that you can say for us to approve budget, we want the minutes of NEDLAC. It means we want to get into NEDLAC through the best door. That is not going to be the correct way to do things. Can we be given an opportunity to speak? Because when Honorable Bertrand is speaking, he keeps quiet, but every time he speaks, he likes to mumble. Let us respect each other, because respect is a dual thing.
You are protected, Honorable Lulliver. Honorable Buckley, indeed, you are given the respect that you deserve when you speak. No one is saying anything. We are all quiet, and let's do the same to others as well. Honorable, on this matter, Honorable Colin.
Thanks, Sheila. 2 points. The first one is I don't think we need to make this big fuss. I think the point that my colleague is saying is that was a very, very interesting input from the department. And we really enjoyed hearing the work of NEDLAC. And we have to approve the budget of NEDLAC. So all he's saying, I think, is that that sort of information is very positive and it's useful for us. So when the report comes, like maybe the quarterly report or the, I don't know what it is, and just put in a little mention of we're discussing the minimum wage, we're discussing strike violence, it just helps us to say, oh, the money is well spent, they're doing very important work. But sometimes the presentation just tells you so much money for damages and so much money for tea and so much money for floods and so much money for whatever. It's just interesting for us when we are going to vote on the budget to see, oh, the department's doing very useful work. In fact, that was a very good input from the department. We can see they're doing very useful work on all of those matters that South Africa is worried about. So it's actually a good thing. I don't think it's saying the bad thing. Yeah. I think it's saying that was a very good thing. And in our future presentations, when we have NEDLAC, if they maybe just give us a little summary to say this is the work they are doing, we can say, oh, that's great. The work, the money is well spent. It doesn't have to become a big drama.
Members, we are not necessarily the minutes. We have in front of us the strike plan of the department.
Yes.
We have the ATP of the department.
Yes.
That has added questions. And when we interrogate the department, that is what we should be basing ourselves on. To test whether the money that we have approved for them has been used in the manner in which they say they are going to use it.
If you have a problem, you don't understand how the money was improved, you have a right to ask the department to unpack on a certain program and say, how have you used this money in this program? We don't have a program that is in it. Whatever money that is used, these monies are coming from the program. And these monies have been budgeted for under certain programs. And we know that. So I think if you are talking about them unpacking a certain program where they have underspent or where they have overspent or where they have used, taken the money from the other program and use it for another program, that is what you should be concerning us about, not minutes. So, I think that this question of minutes being brought to the committee, there will be no minutes that are brought to the committee, but the members will have a right to interrogate each and every program that you bring and every cent that you have spent to ask the department, how have you used it? Where has it gone? I think that's our way. Now, can we answer any other questions? There are more questions that have been asked, department. The way you are spending your budget does not show that you have budget to spend. Your ATP is anything to budget to spend, but the way you are spending, there is nothing that shows budget to spend. We can trace your history from 2013, 2012, and then 2013, 2014, 2015. What we see is under expenditure and over expenditure in certain programs. So this budget will say, maybe you should tell us where, so that we understand. Maybe you make an example of one program when you say that from the telephone and the cell phone, that money did you use? The year what the gentleman told us that people have to work in the evening or what. I don't know if you do have limitations when it comes to cell phones, because if we are to limit the budget, all of us are tightening the belt. That's why here at times you see that the shortage of water or the shortage of tea. We are also doing the same as Parliament. So if you have an entity or department that is just going to use money as long as the airtime is available, I think it's going to be problematic. It's not sticking to what we have to do in terms of reducing costs as much as possible. You must look at this budget. You must look at this cell phone. You must look at this telephone. You must look at the money that is given, because they show that traveling and accommodation is related to the money that relates to the work that is done by constituencies. They also, because the money is from the government, so they also have to do the same as you are doing in Parliament and that. So it must be different. I don't want to ask the question that you asked last time on this money topic. I don't want to ask that question because I said we don't have the answer, but I think we have to look at the money that are given to the country.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the director had to correct clearly, Chairperson.
we, I just want to respond to the question that was raised by Honorable Olive on the issue of the Heaven. And maybe we'll put the matter to rest. The forensic report was taken by Nedlio to the SAC for further investigation. Now, what it means is that conclusively the investigation has not been finalized. It has not been brought to a conclusion. Now, how do you charge a person when the very same institution that alleges that this person has done X, Y, Z have indicated that they have not finalized the investigation? And I think that you are presumed innocent until you are proven guilty. And the second point is that there's a difference between the ministry and the department. I'm the head of the administration and the department. And everybody that I'm responsible for, I have to see to it that that person behaves in a manner that is in line with the effort of the organization. Now, the person who can respond to your question of whether he should be disciplined or not is the minister. Because he reports to the minister. He was appointed by the minister as an advisor. I hope that next time when you see the minister, you ask him this question. Because I think it's an unfair question for me to respond to, because Mr. Kiza doesn't support to me. And Mr. Kiza reports to the minister, he has a contract with the employment union with the minister. But the point I would like to emphasize to the minister is that the investigation is not yet over enough. I would add from that link that the matter is still with the South African Police Service. Until they finalize the investigation, it's going to be very difficult for us to have an organization there. What I do want to say is we have an oversight responsibility over NetLink. And I have officials that are responsible for seeing to it that NetLink funds are sent in a manner that they should be sent in line with the ATP and the threat plan that has been presented. So we do that religiously, and that's why you had Kim and the CFO talking about the supply chain policies that have been improved to make sure that we improve on internal controls. That's the only thing that we can do. Respond to the issue of the difference between the general building and the tenant and the clinic. I'm not too sure about
that. Do we have new people? Are they all new in this position?
They have only the executive director of the
senior. The gentleman has been there.
The CFO has been around for some
time. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chair. Let me respond to the question on the general maintenance and building maintenance. The general maintenance is
referring to basically consumable, if I can put it that way. Things like consumables like liquid material for which that I use the things. And the building maintenance is referring to the physical maintenance of the property. There we can make an example of repairs like recently the repairs that is done. The repairs of the module and the latest item for the gate process. The repairs that we done that we are currently busy with repairing the fire exit doors, for example, which were not functioning. For the tests that we might do, for example, on the leaking of the rope should that happen. The renovations that we've done were mainly on the interior of the building. There are some other areas which still need maintenance. I think also if you look at things like light fan of the bulb of the light, those are things that on a yearly basis you would need to be replaced if they are not functioning. I think that's all that has been clarified at the cleaning that is shown separately, this is just for the personnel that we are using. Currently that trade is outsourced. It's a company that brings two people that are coming to the office to do cleaning. That's what
we use as private.
Thank you.
Do these two people come to the office? How often?
They come every day.
Every day?
Yes.
Why are you not employed? You can still be here.
Shall we still looking at that option? This is a process that we started last financial year. We will consider employing on a full-time basis.
But your person,
the department is very high. We have been talking about stopping of outsourcing of public services.
Mm.
And I would ask the person, why are you still planning to stop it at this time, 2016, when we were talking about it 2014? What is the problem? Why do people not process services? Because if we had a permanent employee on this item, we could have spent less than the 73 that we voted for. We are not seeing services. Outsourcing has to be stopped. That's our policy. So the government is supposed to be implementing what is the policy of the management. And also, Anna Shani.
Honorable Lolly, what's saying to Honorable Mandesh, Honorable
Chair, every department, and when we talk of a department, we include six entities, have a responsibility of creating sustainable jobs. If they are appointing people on a part-time basis, that is not necessarily addressing the issue of joblessness. So we want the department, when they come back, they must tell us, for instance, a service of training. It's a service that is going to be there till the cows come home. There's no need to appoint a person on a temporary basis, because if, for instance, it's a lady who is training and she's on maternity, you put in a substitute. If it is natural attrition, you just appoint a term for that period until a permanent appointment is made. That should not happen again, of having a person coming as a consultant to do a service where you can create a permanent job and reduce the unemployment rate. Thank you.
Is this person employed through an agent?
No. They're not broke.
Yes.
No.
The teachers just have come to an end with the music. And people must be employed.
Yeah.
If you need two people, they must be employed. Not through the agents, they must be employed.
Yeah.
that labor broker was taking a lot of money home, that must be addressed to him.
I don't know, labor broker.
The question of the researchers, you talked of the researchers when the question was asked of consultancy. How many consultants are used for what in the system? Just say we use the consultant for A, B, C, one, D. Now, the researchers, how do researchers of the institution become part of the consultant? Can you explain that?
The researchers that are used, they are appointed by the chambers, and they then go through the SPM process in terms of selecting the researchers that they can use. I think my colleague was also here. Because there's one research that is done, there's one research report that is done, the chamber, so there will be one organization, one person doing that particular research for that chamber. And then the other research that is done by the constituents, by the three constituents, mainly one that is spending more money on the research, that's the business constituents. And those researchers are appointed by the business, and then that comes through the our network and process in terms of supply.
In this work of researchers, how is it the work they are doing on a daily basis? Is that work done on a daily basis in the constituencies, in the chambers? Because the amount is huge. So how often do you need these researchers?
There's two components to the research. The one component is the chambers decide on a research topic that will add value to their work for the year. And so from our side, from the secretary's side, the researchers must comply with our SEM requirements and must be on a database. And then the chambers together, all the social partners in that chamber, will decide on who the researcher should be from that list. The second part of the research is the research that constituencies do on their own. So we don't have any say over how the constituencies are using their capacity building budget. So for example, business uses a lot of their budget for research projects, but those are projects that they determine, and they, as long as the researchers still comply with our ACM policies, they will appoint a researcher. The organized labor constituency usually uses the bulk of their budget, not for research, but to have a conference every year to look at what the big policy issues are. So those are the two streams of research. I think what we're looking at here is the budget that goes into the chambers, and the chambers themselves decide every year, this will be our research topic, and they set up a task team that manages that research, and the research is supposed to add value to the work that is being done within the chambers.
And they source the researchers from where? Are the researchers, what I want to understand, are these researchers consultants? What are these? Because you're talking of researchers that are in your database. And for me, when you say you have researchers in your database, it means you're going to have Honorable Loli, where you're going to have Honorable Mandashe, Olive, and all of them as researchers that you will use when the time comes. But consultants, how then the two? I don't understand.
Oh,
what generally happens in the chambers with the researchers is the constituencies will suggest people who have expertise in whatever area of research they're looking at. And then we need to make sure that those people comply. So those would be researchers in the classical sense. And then constituencies would decide out of that pool of researchers who they're going to appoint to take up that project.
Just to answer the question, Honorable Chair, those researchers are consultants. They're part of the consultants that we're talking about.
I'm saying as we speak, I'm saying no.
No, she was saying no to the question I was asking.
Oh.
I was saying your question relates to whether internal research capacity in the institution, and she said no. That is why there's a need for the institutional from time to time to use the services of the consultant and external research
government. I think that's the main question. If you know that you are going to use the research out there, the work work for researchers for a year, why have you set up these consultancies? Because then it would be understandable and it would be explain to us when we have to use expertise that we don't have in the company. But you, when you look for those researchers, you are also going to look at the expertise that are needed inside. Why do you use consultancies instead of employing researchers? What would be the difference?
I think because the nature of the work that we've done is a project-based kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
If you employ researchers full-time basis, you risk having people in the organization that are so underutilized,
mm-hmm.
because they have to wait for a project, and there is no guarantee that this year you will have as many projects as you had in the previous year. So the cost that you have there is not a fixed cost. It varies based on the project that you have. I think that's the reason why you would have if we don't have the kind of capacity, the preference is to swap out from the institution.
Can you, instead of getting this report from the consultant, from the agency, you can get the individual from the university who can do this for you? And in that way, it will be cheaper. Because if you go to consultancies, we are going to pay for them and not also go and pay for the person. I understand that maybe I don't understand the nature of the work, because I would think that these people are recruited by these consultants that you are using to be part of their database, and when organizations need them, then they are the pool of them under their umbrella. Why don't you go out of the umbrella and invite them when you need them? What would be the problem? If we're talking about cost, reducing cost.
I think the other complication, obviously, with the research is that there is specialization. We have four chambers, and all of those chambers would need different types of specialization. For example, if you need to do something around the development chamber, maybe urban renewal or rural development, the person that you may employ within NEDLAC may not have those sets of skills that you need for that. And moving on, maybe you need to do research on public finance and monetary policy. You need a different type of skills for that. That would go for the other chambers, and the other technical task teams that would be set up by NEDLAC would need input from researchers that may not not reside with one person whom you may get from a, maybe a university or something like that.
He is not like that.
You might employ this person, and then this person after some time might not have job. You will not want to use him because you are calling those people for a specific task. But I'm still asking, why can't you invite them, those one in that specific task, not through the agency, but as individuals, to make costs much more cheaper? I'm not going to entertain it. I'm going to pass it. I think I will engage with the DG after this so that I am convinced that you can't employ them as when you need them with those facilities, not through the agent. Running away from the cost of the agent, then knowing that you'll be paying the person directly, and when you are done with this person, then is that person leave. So I'm not going to continue this question. I'm going to do it. I'm not convinced. Maybe I'll be convinced outside of it. Honorable Kaula.
Sir, I thought we could perhaps close it by saying that the NECLEC needs to build its own research capacity, you see, to avoid that contact. I hear the points that they are making in terms of the various areas of research. But also, one will expect that an institution big as NECLEC will have its own research capacity by ensuring that it has got full-time employees. And then, where there's specialization, where that capacity cannot accommodate, those could probably be treated as exceptional cases. But as an institution, while one will expect that it will have its own research capacity. So I think perhaps if we can close like that, and then next time they can actually report on their own research capacity rather than relying on consultants. Thank you.
Okay. That will be taken into consideration by NECLEC and the DG. Any other questions to be answered? I think we have exhausted
so much for the presentation. No, it's no longer small team. You are on your own. What is it?
Gracias.